Welcome in to another edition of Under the Bus, where three old guys who've ridden a few buses and have hopefully not landed under too many of them come together to talk about the great stuff of sports, but also throw some people under the bus.
Sure.
Along with Rich Basirico, Hall of Fame basketball coach, Curry Kirkpatrick, Hall of Fame sports writer from Sports Illustrated, I'm Bob Stevens.
Hall of Famer.
Nah, I'm not in anybody's Hall of Fame. I haven't even made my high school Hall of Fame, and there were only 100 of us in the class. I'm still waiting for the phone call there. We got to start, obviously, with the NFL draft. We're going to talk about the Kentucky Derby a little later on, NBA playoffs in a bit. NFL draft, you guys were as excited as Eminem to be there, I'm sure, in Detroit. It was a huge party.
Well, I've got a source that's still there, by the way, and he's reporting that on the clock, the Kansas City Chiefs, with the 585th pick, have picked a 5'10 backer from the School of Hard Knocks named Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
They drafted her. Apparently, it took so long to draft her because there were some character issues. And she had a bad interview. That's what they always say. They had a bad interview. And
did she have a good 40 time? What was her 40 time?
She wanted to sing during the interview. That was a bad interview. So. But, you know, one of the other than all the draft choices, one of the funniest parts of the draft I loved was this. When the general manager of the Indiana, what are they called?
Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah. Chris Mannix came out and bitched and moaned about anonymous sources, you know, killing his draft choice and wondering why he went so bad. And he goes on, he says, profane rant. And what is this? What is he talking about? What does it matter if it's anonymous? Yeah.
Right.
I mean, these...
He's defending his pick to make people
what's
realize.
It
and the pick
what's
was a guy named Adonal Mitchell from a wide Texas. Receiver Texas. From Texas.
Yeah.
But he played at Georgia. He played on a championship team in Georgia, transferred to Texas. So, but they went down in the draft to pick him.
Right.
So what's that all about? I mean, these teams spend millions of dollars to check out the character and the background of all their players. And, you know, what if it matters that, you know, what if it matters if it's anonymous or not? Maybe this guy has a habit of, you know, hanging around bus stops and picking up little boys or robbing 7-Elevens. I mean, you got to get it.
Right.
You got to get it at the core. So
I don't think that means anything to these guys. I mean, they do all these character tests. They take tests. They have written tests.
Yeah.
Some guys do really poorly. I don't care. They still draft them.
Dog or cat? You like dog or cat? I mean, that's some of the question. Right?
I always watch the movie Draft Day, either the day before or the day of, just because it's, first of all, it's Cleveland actually zipping it to everybody else, which never happens. And it's Costner. It's good. And Dennis Leary, and it's some great characters.
It is
and
a great flick.
Good stuff.
So, you know, their first 14 picks.
Yeah. All offense. Yeah, what do you think of that?
Is the name of the, I don't know. That's different. And six quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing about quarterbacks. You know how I am about quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So I looked it up. In the last 10 years,
there
have been 30 quarterbacks drafted in the first round.
Okay.
First round. 30. 18 of them have been bust. 18 of them.
Okay.
That's not a real good
percentage. You don't want to hear all 18.
Right,
that's not a real good percentage. Yeah, but... Who was your most shocking moment?
Oh
to play?
My God, the Falcons!
The Falcons.
Oh,
right.
Penix. I mean, they just signed Cousins for guaranteed $100 trillion.
let me give you the other side of that.
Okay.
All right. Other people wanted Cousins too, so if you wanted him, you had to go get him.
Right.
They had no idea Penix was going to be available. They don't want Penix. They didn't want Penix to start this year anyway. Well, I think it's,
Bob,
I don't
24.
Think it's a bad idea.
He's 24 right?
Yeah, so he's 26 when he first starts playing.
Penix,
you know,
there are analysts that said Penix wasn't even going to be a first rounder.
Yeah, there's questions about him. But
him and Nix were going to be second round.
I think Nix was a terrific pick because Sean Payton loves him.
Yeah, he loves
him. And he's going to give him every opportunity to succeed. Bo Nix has played for 10 years already.
And he drafted his Oregon wide receiver.
Yeah, drafted him one of his wide receivers.
Right.
So I think it's all about where you end up rather than when you get picked to me. I mean, Caleb Williams was far and away the best quarterback, but he's going to Chicago. When was the last time they had a really good quarterback? Do these guys know what they're doing with him? Is he going to be okay? They got him Adunze to catch balls. The best pick the Bears made and this is why their draft was probably the best. They picked the punter from Iowa in the fourth round, who was probably the best player in college. He made Iowa a bowl team last year as the punter because they had no offense.
You like that pick?
It was a great pick. Should have been. Well, if they'd had to trade up to get him in the third, they should have done it. But they didn't have to. They were able to hang back to the fourth.
It's normally a pick that a really good team makes late in the draft.
Sure.
Usually they'll take a punter, and the Bears are not a really good team yet.
No.
But they expect to be, and taking the punter is kind of a notation that we're going to be really good, so we need a punter. To get back to the Penix pick and the Falcons, I know you defended it with the – but doesn't this make things – I think it makes it uncomfortable for both of them.
Oh, sure it does.
Because, and the Atlanta Raheem Morris came out and said, well, Kirk Cousins isn't going to have to be looking over his shoulder. He's our quarterback. Well, of course he is. They drafted his replacement, right after they give him a 2-year, and now they draft his replacement. And Penix is uncomfortable for him because, whenever the starter makes a mistake, the crowd's going to be chanting for Penix.
Sure.
And now,
But
I didn't like it.
I think
if you want to be good this year, and here's what the Falcons, the rest of the squad is thinking, and Kirk Cousins is thinking, if we want to be good this year, get me a player to be good this year.
Correct.
I mean, Penix isn't going to help him this year if he doesn't play. And Raheem Morris, didn't he say we'd be happy if Penix played for us didn't play for 5 years? He's going to be 35 then. I mean, it's just
in 5 years, Raheem Morris isn't going to be coaching the Falcons, so it's not going to matter.
Yeah.
66 quarterbacks played last year in the NFL.
Wow.
Penix is going to get his shot. I mean, so many guys get hurt.
Falcons need so much help, especially defensively. At the eighth pick, they could have got a really guy to step in
could
and
have.
Play. Your first round
but
pick
they might
has to
have,
be.
Yeah, they might have wanted Penix in the first place and never thought he was going to get down that low or thought were going to do something else.
People weren't talking about him being a top
when the guy you
pick.
Want is
yeah, he
there.
He might have gotten him later if a lot of guys didn't want him.
But they
passed on the two great edge rushers, late two from UCLA and the kid from, Alabama?
Alabama.
Yeah, yeah.
But you got to get – the first round pick has to be a guy to come in and play right away. He's going to play right away in my book. If you're picking eighth, that means you had a – terrible season last year. You got to pick right away. How about the Giants?
I was going to ask you about your Giants. So they
happy they didn't pick a quarterback.
The only quarterback they would have picked is McCarthy. Well, apparently there was talk that they talked to the Patriots about getting the third pick.
Right.
And when the Patriots said, no, we're going to keep him, that's when the Giants
went down.
Well,
they had a chance to get J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah,
they didn't pick him.
So
they got a great
wide obviously receiver. They didn't like him.
Right.
Yeah, the wide receiver from... LSU.
Correct. Who's terrific.
Who was the
they
first?
Say, anyway.
Yeah. Well,
but the thing they didn't do, this is the thing that gets me all the time. They drafted no offensive lineman. You have to build around your offensive line. And they didn't do it again. It drives me crazy. Absolutely crazy.
How about the Chiefs picking Xavier Worthy, the fastest guy in the draft?
Fastest guy in American history, apparently. 4.2 in the draft.
4.2 in the draft.
Can
Mahomes lead him? Or can
of
he
course.
Not? I mean, is he too fast? Mahomes, you have to catch it from behind him because Mahomes can't throw it far enough. That was a pretty interesting pick. The Browns, for the fourth straight year, picked Deshaun Watson. I think that was a great pick. 4 years later, we know what he can do and what he can't do. They picked him the year before and the year before that.
They gave up four picks?
Well, three first-round picks, and they get him.
And there's so many receivers taken, early, a ton of receivers. And to get back to your boy, Malik, that went with the Giants, he was the first guy in the draft to go third person. These guys are such divas. He said, Malik knows Malik. He did that in the interview after. I said, uh-oh. Wait a minute. And your Giants got him. So good luck.
How about How about the guy who played ahead of Caleb Williams at Oklahoma? Going in the fifth round to New Orleans.
South Carolina.
Spencer Rattler.
Well, and apparently
who was
there
better
were,
at one point, they thought he was better than Caleb Williams.
Well, and apparently there were character issues around him. Somebody said they looked at a high school, something he did,
Netflix,
a play or something,
right.
Netflix, and ran a high school where he, what did he do in high school that they didn't like?
Well, they did a show on quarterbacks and when he was a high school player.
And and that's what they're looking like.
Correct.
Characters. Oh, we got to wait on him. Characters.
I mean, it's amazing how they do all these little things, and one little thing will knock him down three or four rounds. Another guy can go out and murder somebody, and they're
which is why Draft Day is one of the great movies of all time, because they passed on the quarterback because nobody came to his 21st birthday party.
Well, in Draft Day, this TV go to the families in the homes watching the draft and getting so excited.
They did, they did that in the movie too. Oh yeah,
because I love it when they did that.
Yeah,
and I love the The Jets' first round pick, a guy named Olu Fashanu or something, offensive lineman. I love the way his mom grabbed him first, put him in a headlock, and then the girlfriend. I counted four times the girlfriend tries to come in, and the mom. Well, they said they should have drafted the mom at offensive line to block. And it took me back like 4 years ago. They had a great moment when a guy's mom took over. The girlfriend came in first and got the guy in a headlock. The mom came in and basically threw her off the set. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That was a few years ago. I can't remember the guy. I think his name was Isaiah Wilson for the Titans. He was a Georgia guy again. And the girlfriend came in and got her first, and the mom basically came in, took her, and threw her out of the picture.
Those Georgia moms can play. Recruit those Georgia moms.
Without a doubt.
Cowboys got their running back. They got Elliott.
Really? Please.
Out of all the teams that needed a running back, they were the number one team, without a doubt. They don't have anybody.
And they got Zeke Elliott back.
Well, then why did they get rid of him to begin with?
Who knows?
What are they doing now?
Because they thought somebody else was better. You know, that's how football works.
Zeke Elliott is so washed. I mean, he's as washed as Jerry Jones, I think, which is really, I don't know what the Cowboys did. They basically sat on their hands during the offseason, when everybody else got better.
Travis Kelce gets $34 million.
Right.
Good for him. Somebody's got to, keep the family afloat, right? He's got a high maintenance wife who
got that money
girlfriend.
Because of Taylor.
Yeah.
They wanted to keep him. They bring all that good PR to the team.
Jason Kelce gets a gig on Monday Night Football for ESPN.
And then two guys got axed.
Oh yeah, yeah. The table for Sunday football.
Why don't you ax me? Why I got axed? I have a story about Drake May, about my boy. Went to the Patriots, and I don't know if you saw his brothers. Athletic brothers. One won the NCAA baseball championship. One won the NCAA basketball championship at Carolina. And apparently, they did this tribute video for him that they showed him at the draft. And the one brother gets up and calls him pretty boy. Then the next brother gets up and says overrated. And then the third brother got up and said. You're a bitch. The three brothers. It was hysterical. And Drake May is laughing his butt off. I mean, it's great. But one thing about him, his brother Luke May, who plays professionally in Japan, won the championship at Carolina. Right. He flew. It was in his contract with his Japanese team. He flew 6,000 miles from Japan to be there at draft night, and he had it in his contract when he first signed with them. He said he got time to go to the draft. Kind of a close family. I mean,
that's awesome.
Very cool.
I love that. Yeah. That's a great story.
Good story.
And you'll love it if he does badly with the Patriots, I know.
Will LeBron, does he have that in his contract when Bronny gets drafted that he can come back?
LeBron, he's gonna try to be drafted,
We're gonna talk about that. We got that coming up. Are any more draft? You got lots of pages here. You got another draft story you want to tell?
I got stuff. I don't know. I gave him that third rounder
to Buffalo.
How about the seventh round pick at Buffalo Bills? Guy's never played football before. Travis Clayton.
Oh, the rugby player?
He's a rugby player. Played football.
But it's seventh round. It's seventh round.
I know, but still.
If Taylor Swift could get picked in the seventh round, you don't have to play football to be good at football. He's a rugby player. He's tougher than any football player.
I guess so.
I mean, they might even save on the pads.
Couldn't they sign him as a free agent? I mean, how many other people?
Yeah, but you never know. That's why I think if you're getting down in the sixth and seventh round, I think you're almost better not to get drafted.
Because
then you can pick your spot.
Correct.
I got a dark horse pick.
Okay.
And he went 98th. He went way too far down. He's the and I know it's my rival school, but it's a linebacker named Peyton Wilson.
Oh, NC State?
Big, strong guy. Mm-hmm. I think he was ACC Defensive Player of the Year. Right. He went 98 to the Steelers. Watch him in his rookie year.
Steelers. The Steelers had a great draft.
That's a great fit for him. Going to the Steelers.
And he's a monster. I mean, when I saw him in college.
He was a linebacker, right?
I don't think he was number one rated, but he was picked 98. He went all the way down. Well, again, character issues. They probably saw him at a bus stop. I don't know.
We had that happen from here a few years back with Puna Ford, who was defensive tackle who was not known, although he was the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year.
Right.
Never got drafted, but found the right spot and ended up having a pretty good run with Seattle. And he's Buffalo now. But
he's still in the lead, right?
Still in the lead.
He's had a career.
He got his second contract. Now he's Chargers. Oh, okay. Now he's going to the Chargers.
And tons of money.
Which will be good.
The Chargers. The Chargers. Forget the draft. The best offseason was the Chargers. They get Harbaugh. And I know we've mocked Harbaugh forever here. And, he's a nut job and he's whacked out. But
he's also pretty good.
In the last 10 years, I would submit high profile, high winning coaches, both college and pro. Yeah. This is the guy.
Yeah. Right.
And, the two most important guys on your team are your coach and your quarterback, and now they have both the Chargers.
Yeah. So, and you see, they had the fifth pick, which everybody thought they would take a wide receiver. But
they drafted Ault, the offensive guard, which will protect
Herbert.
Yeah. Herbert, yeah.
Talking about girlfriends and things at the draft, did you see his girlfriend? She stood there. Did you see her? Seriously, she stood there with her eyes like
this. Ault?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, they're all real shifty.
There was
no
emotion whatsoever. I thought something was wrong with her. I didn't know what
she's
going
trying
on.
To figure she's out how many to... how many millions she just got.
And San Diego. We'll go looking for real estate in San Diego.
And
not so bad.
And the shops, I can
L.A. Show. Southern L.A. County or down south.
That's
good stuff.
Funny,
all right, we have spent way too much time on the draft because nothing that happens in the draft now matters. Probably for 3 or 4 years, we'll find out how it all worked out. But we got NBA playoffs, and we got people to throw under the bus in the NBA.
Sure.
And we'll be back to do that right after this. For the first time since 2005, LeBron, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, out before the second round.
That's crazy.
2005, that's almost 20 years.
Think about that.
What a great run they have had,
and now
they get to watch.
And now people are talking about, they should get together now and start again another triple big three team, get the three old guys together again.
Where?
They could go to Golden State. I mean, Durant is finished at Phoenix. Come on, they're going to get
out. Durant wants out.
Well, wherever he goes, he wants out. About 3 days later.
With Lakers now. We're going to start.
Yeah,
with
but let's go. Yeah, LeBron being out.
Well,
what do you think?
Did you hear him after? I mean,
answer any questions.
The exchange that'll go around the world for 2 months. They asked him, "Did you ever think about was this your last game with the Lakers?" And he thought for a minute and he said, "I'm not going to answer that. Thank you," and walked out. I mean, that's going to be replayed for the next 3 months. He's very canny in all this stuff. Now he's probably going to go free agency, obviously. It wouldn't hurt him not to.
But wasn't he owed like $50 million?
He has a $50 million option to play next year.
So it's
his option. Gee, do I want to play? Make $50 million? But somebody else will pay him.
Well, his family's in L.A. Right. His son is coming into the... And, I think the Lakers will draft him, and that'll be another urgent move to keep
LeBron. Well, the coaches are already out there. They're talking about the coach being
he's
gone.
Probably
and
gone.
His businesses, LeBron's businesses are in L.A. And, to give him his due, Rich, I mean, he played these last few games. I mean, he played his heart out in these games. And he had a great fourth quarter last night. And they're just not as good. I mean, Murray hit the second game-winning shot in the series. And you knew, as I was watching this thing, I stayed up and watched the whole thing. It's going back and forth. It was never a doubt in my mind that the Nuggets were going to win.
Yeah.
Even though LeBron's playing, Davis got hurt. Right. He was basically helpless in the fourth quarter. He didn't have his shoulder. But LeBron was just playing his heart out, and they lost, and, that's it.
Yeah.
It was so sudden that I didn't even realize. I said, when Murray made the shot, the season's over.
Right.
LeBron's over. Right. It might be never again.
Yeah. How about
he
that?
He gets this close. Yeah. And now they're all speculating, where can he go, or where can he go to go to the championship again?
Knicks. I don't want him to go to the Knicks.
The Knicks are going to do him pretty well on their own. My goodness. Come on, you're fine. Your guys are winning.
Well, Brunson is amazing. He had 47 on Sunday. He's terrific.
Are we going to go back to the Knicks now? We're going to stay with the Lakers. I want to throw the Lakers a little bit under now.
Keep going.
I don't think they deserve it. You know, after the second game, after they were, you know, they lost the first three games. Anthony Davis, after the second game, what he was worried about, they asked him, are you upset you didn't make the all-defensive team or something? He was mad at that. Yeah. He said, the league doesn't like me.
Oh.
He's not concerned about, they're down. And the league doesn't like me. First of all, the league doesn't vote on the all-defensive team. The media does. Right. Well, the media doesn't like him. You're right. What's there to like? I mean, come on. But, you know, the league doesn't like me. And then they asked him about the first, remember, after the game, was it game two that Murray made the shot?
Yes.
They asked him, what were you doing on that play? What was the play about? Could you give us your... And he said, Murray made the shot, slammed the microphone out, and walked out. Now LeBron gets in there, and they ask him about the game, and he goes off on a call made in the third quarter. And he said, what was the replay team doing in New Jersey? What were they doing? And he says, what are we doing here? And he slams the microphone and walks out. So that was their walk-off.
You know the league doesn't want the Lakers.
These are their two stars.
Lakers to go on. They're only worth, half the ratings that the...
So then there's game three, and D'Angelo Russell, who hit seven threes in game two, he goes 0-for-7 in game three, and they shot him. Did you see this late in the game on a timeout? He was away from the huddle, and he's sitting on, and it looked like he was either eating a sandwich or scrolling on his phone. No, seriously.
I know.
How can they even suit him up for the next game? It's an embarrassment.
It is embarrassing.
Don't they? I mean, LeBron's got to be looking at this. He's get rid of this guy.
Right.
I think they should have got rid of him right after the game.
Yes. I totally agree with you.
It's amazing.
Those guys they don't listen to their coach. No. They don't listen whatsoever.
And did you listen after the game last night? The Denver coach, he did 5 minutes on Darvin Ham and how good a coach he was. How he hopes he stays there a long time.
Yeah, because I can beat him.
I mean, he went on and on about Darvin Ham to save his job, really. It sounded this guy is trying to save his job.
Well, he's not going to save it because LeBron doesn't want him.
Yeah.
Well, so he's out. Yeah. If LeBron doesn't want you, you're out. If he doesn't want Russell there, he's out.
It would be tough to be a coach for LeBron James.
It's hard to be an NBA coach. I mean, there's only Popovich, when Riley coached, those kind of guys.
Go forever. Yeah.
Other than that, they don't listen.
Although Chuck Daly, I told me once.
Boy, you're really coming.
You just mentioned Chuck Daly. Chuck Daly says there's a lifespan. They'll only listen to you for about five years, six years, and then you got to go. Right. Even if you're having success, they start not listening
so
to you.
True.
And he did that with the Pistons and then
to go to your favorite team, the Knicks.
Yes,
I mean I'm surprised you're even. Sitting down, he must be so excited after the game. And you're right, Brunson, 47 in a game, 10 assists.
Yeah.
He's their whole offense, Rich, and that's a problem. But
that is a
problem. I got a story about Jalen.
He handles the ball too much. Yeah. He handles it too much. When you go down the stretch and you go back and look, I bet you six possessions in a row, no one touched the ball but him. He got it and he didn't give it up. Give it up and get it back. Give it up and get it back. But
doesn't the defense make an adjustment to that?
But people are going to sit there and go, he had 40. I get it. I understand all that. But you got to give the ball up. You know, if Randle was there, that would be a problem. People think, we win the NBA championship with Randle being there. No way. Because he wants the ball more than Brunson wants the ball. Yeah. There's only one basketball. Brunson, the other Knicks guys, the Villanova guys understand.
Yeah, until this year in this series, Jalen Brunson has kind of been under the radar.
Yes.
But, you know, he was a great player. At Villanova, they won two championships. He played on two championship teams. But there's a couple of intriguing stories about him. When he was in high school, he was a great player in the Chicago area. And of course, his father is Rick Brunson, who played in the NBA for like 9 years, then went into the assistant coaching realm and did stuff like that. But the day after Jalen played on the world team, I think he played on the world team. They won the championship. The day after that. His father got a job offer at Temple University of Philadelphia, where he played.
Right.
And so he was going to go there. And they signed Brunson the day after Temple did. Now, Temple did. Then it came out that his father, Rick, was involved in a sexual illegal thing. Okay. And they took the job away from him. So no more Temple. And, of course, Brunson then signed at Villanova. The father was later found to be not guilty, but it kind of, you know, yeah. It kind of swayed
sure.
Jalen's whole career. Then he plays in Dallas, and he goes into free agency, and the Knicks signed him.
And
a month later,
they
hired his dad. Oh, the dad went first?
I think the dad went
afterward. But the Knicks, you know, the NBA came down on the Knicks for, penalize them for talking to Brunson before free agency opened. Well, duh. I mean, who was talking to his dad?
Right.
His dad. So it's, you know, he might have gone somewhere else. It's really intriguing backstory about Jalen Brunson.
Well, he's made that team without a doubt. And the guys, I understand, they were like Hart, who's a great defense, a terrific rebounder for a guy at 6'4". Can't shoot foul shots worth a lick. The Knicks shot 62% from the foul line. In the NBA, that's... Yeah. Look, I took my grandson out to outdoor courts, which isn't easy to shoot. And he was 18 for 20 from the foul line. He's 11 years old. How can NBA guys
Here
not?
You go, on free throws, yeah. The Lakers missed a ton of free throws last
there you
night
go.
To take them out.
Should it not be free shoot? Free throw?
So the Knicks are up 3-1.
Yes.
And the game they won, remember in game two in New York, the NBA came out with a report after the game, and they said, we were wrong.
Right.
You did get fouled.
Yes.
And Brunson grabbed
Maxie.
Max went down two fouls, and they didn't give Nick Nurse his timeout. Let me ask you this. Why does the NBA come out with a public report on that? Isn't that more embarrassing than if they just kept quiet?
Right.
It's more embarrassing to the refs. I mean, these are their refs.
Right. Well,
is that their strategy? What is the strategy?
Their strategy is to ruin the talk shows.
Well,
can do nothing but grouse about it.
The 76ers obviously appealed. They went to the league.
Yeah,
How does that make them feel better?
You've been around a few years.
No, not
Have
me.
Any of those appeals ever been, has no. anyone ever said,
no.
yeah, you're right, we're going to go back and do those last 10 seconds over again?
We played it, yeah.
Never has. Never happened.
So then in game three, Embiid, I'm surprised you haven't brought him up under the bus character.
Well, that's something that's coming.
He goes for 50, and then it's revealed that he has Bell's palsy. He has Bell's palsy. That's an affliction. I've read about this. It was named after Alexander Graham Bell, who, of course, invented the telephone, and then blabbed so much into it, he got palsy. That's not really true. But the illness, apparently Bell's... Palsy
TikTok
also,
is getting him now, isn't it?
Bell's palsy also apparently forces you to go to the ground and grab opposing players' legs and throw them down to the court without getting thrown out of the game.
Right.
I mean, Embiid needed to be thrown out of the game right then. And Robinson hasn't played since, right?
Right.
The kid that he grabbed. He hadn't played since.
That's right.
So what's that all about?
I don't know what it's about.
And then Embiid, how about in game five that he blasted
the last game.
Brunson coming through the lane.
Right.
He blasted him in the chin.
And Brunson said something to him, and he was like, what are you talking about?
And then he scored 15 points in the last 6 minutes, minutes. And Embiid in the fourth, one basket or something like that.
It was one basket.
I mean, you talk about a dog.
Yeah.
Then
his last thing he was complaining about the Philly fans, the Knicks fans, which I absolutely love.
I was listening to this game on the beach, and you know every time there was this huge explosion of applause, and I said, Philly's doing great here.
Right.
Well, it was a Knicks basket, and the place exploded, and it was later I found. What was that all about? Did the Knicks fans buy all the tickets?
I guess so. That's why Embiid was so upset about it.
And the Philly fans, and they were yelling, their own Philly fans are yelling, F-M-B. I mean, I thought Philadelphia fans were like, you know, crazy pals. And
they say they are.
In my experience, when New York teams played Philadelphia teams, I mean, there'd be fights. You go to New York.
Right.
I had a friend at ESPN and his buddies, when the Giants would play at Philadelphia, they would wear all their Giants gear to go to Philadelphia and beer up and get in fights. They'd say, bring it on. I mean, they went there to fight. And so Philly fans would fight him. But now Philly fans are like pussies.
It didn't make sense. I was shocked by that.
I think they just hate their team so much now.
Well, I think they were disappointed in Embiid down the stretch. You know, he had one bucket, as you mentioned. You know, they just, the Knicks fans, when the Knicks down the stretch were playing so well, and Brunson was going off.
It's going to be all about the Knicks and Celtics in the East and the West. It's going to be all about the Timberwolves and the Thunder.
How cool will that be?
You think Minnesota's going to beat Denver? You think Minnesota's going to beat Denver?
I'm giving up on my Nuggets.
I'm just trying to set the table for old establishment in the East, new guys in the West, I think Minnesota now is on a mission because of their injured coach.
I saw that too. That was so sad.
On his own player.
The guy got blasted. Conley ran into him going up the floor. Yes. But I think, you know, if we talk about Minnesota, the face of the league has almost become Anthony Edwards now.
He's terrific. I mean, this guy is spectacular. He's outstanding, yeah.
And the Ant-Man, and I love the Ant-Man. I got to tell you a quick story. Nobody had heard of this guy. You know, he was Atlanta area kid, mm-hmm. five-star. And Georgia, out of nowhere, Georgia, which doesn't even have a basketball team, you know, got him because his favorite players were Dwayne Wade and who's the kid that played in Indiana, coached by Tom Crean.
Yeah.
Right.
And so he went to Georgia to play for Tom Crean. Of course, he only played 1 year. But I remember I was in the Bahamas at a Thanksgiving tournament, and at the same time going on is the Maui tournament. And I remember Georgia played Michigan State, number 3 in the country. Tom is a great defensive genius. They're playing on TV. We're back in the press room. We're watching this. And the Ant-Man had 33 in a half.
Wow.
He got 33 in the second half, almost beat Michigan State by himself. And that's when I first discovered the Ant-Man. I said, whoa. Oh, this guy. And he was number 1 draft choice.
Yes.
You know, so he's fulfilling his promise.
He's the next Jordan.
Well, people are talking about him as Jordan.
He's the next Jordan. Yeah.
I mean, right. And the dunk he made, the blast he made over Durant, his quote hero, and he's talking trash to Durant the whole game. I mean,
you love that.
Yeah,
the
Ant-Man is the guy.
Good stuff. Anything else from the NBA? You want to throw somebody under the bus?
Yes, I do.
All right,
Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
For Cleveland.
Yeah.
Who's averaging 26 points a game? They have a 2-1 lead, mm-hmm. and they're up 9 at halftime. They scored 60 points at halftime, up 60-51. Donovan has 18 at halftime. How many points did he score in the second half?
Zero.
Zero.
Wow.
He scored zero. A guy's averaging 26. He had 18 points at half and scored zero.
And he's their star player, one of their.
Yeah.
He's their star player.
He's
definitely their star player. How do you not score a basket in the second half?
Or make one of those free shots.
Well, or
free
play throws. A rack and get fouled.
Well, or if you're 7 feet in your fourth quarter of your season, Joel Embiid, how do you get one basket? I read a stat. I think he had 6 rebounds in all fourth quarters of this series so far. Embiid, 7 feet tall, 6 rebounds in a fourth. I mean, come on. I got to go back to. There was one thing I wanted to say, but I forgot about it, so I don't know.
Okay.
I was going to ask you, Rich, as a coach, there was a key player in the Lakers-Nuggets game the other night, and the Lakers had a chance to challenge a call late in the game, which they did, and they won the challenge.
Right.
But as a coach, it was their last timeout. And with 3 minutes to go, they have no timeouts left. Was it worth the challenge? I would ask you as a coach. I mean, you're in a, you know,
well,
every situation is different. Well, forget that.
But I know.
As you were.
You would want to keep a timeout for down the stretch.
Especially
in the NBA, because when you call a timeout on the baseline, you get the ball in the front court.
Well, when Murray Wade made his, quote, winning basket, there were 3 seconds left.
Yeah.
LeBron had the ball come in, and at that point, he could have called a timeout, but he had no timeouts left.
I think you keep that. You got to keep that one timeout for sure. I'm a guy
that I think that is a Darvin
use the timeouts when you can, because some coaches say, "Well, I got to save them all." You got to use them so the game doesn't get away from you.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to keep one.
Might be the last challenge and timeout that Darvin Ham makes for Lakers. come on.
We'll go full circle.
He'll end up someplace.
He'll get a job.
We go full circle. We got the Kentucky Derby coming up this weekend.
Nice.
We got to talk about that. A little horse racing coming right up. When we're done throwing basketball players under the bus, Jockeys well, fit under the bus. We can
well,
do that, right?
We can't very well throw horses under.
No, we cannot do that.
We can throw their jockey.
We could next after Saturday, next week.
We'll be back in a moment. One quick baseball note. I know it's the middle of baseball season. The Dodgers have now won 7 in a row, and in a game, I believe it was last night, they did not strike out at all. The whole game. First time they had done it, first time in 18 years that it happened to the Dodgers, and I bet it's probably even longer for a lot of other teams. That's
pretty amazing.
We'll get that. All right.
That will never happen to the Yankees.
No,
we have Stanton and
they can't go 18 straight innings. Come on.
Well, who's going to strike out on Saturday at the Kentucky Derby?
Yeah,
I don't know. Ooh, yeah, I know. Are you a horse guy? You know, for 1 week of the year, I become a horse guy. I get so fascinated.
I grew up around quarter horses. Thoroughbreds were always the other. I'm a fan 1 week a year, maybe 3 weeks a year.
If I had a ton of money like you have, I would I would get into the horse racing business because the characters and the stories.
And then you'd be like he is now. You would not have that money.
I don't have any. That's right. There you go.
Quickest way to be a millionaire in the horse racing business.
It seems like
is
such an interesting deal to get into. I love the characters. Every year you come in new characters and owners, whether they're owners, trainers, jockeys. The story this year is around two horses, the two favorites, Fierceness and Sierra Leone.
Right.
And, you know, they're the bottom morning line favorites now, but who knows, you know, the Derby is not till Saturday, so the odds could all change. But Fierceness it's the speed horse.
Right. What hole is he coming out of?
17.
Okay, let me add to that.
Never
won from the 17th hole.
The thing about it is Fierceness is a speed
horse. Been 150 of these, come on.
Well, the thing is, he's the speed in the race. Okay. And he's going to go to the front, and people tell me if he has no problem at the start, the race may be over.
Really?
I mean, his buyer rating, which is his speed rating, he won the Florida Derby by 13 lengths.
Wow.
And his speed rating in that race was 110. No other horse in the Derby is close to 100 in any race this year, except the second choice.
Okay.
The second choice, which is Sierra Leone, but it only raced at 101. So Fierceness speed is what scares all the other horses.
But they don't have coming out of the 17th hole doesn't make a difference.
Well, you know, if he can get to the front, if he has no problem, because that's where he wants to run.
Sure.
He's not a come from behind guy.
Right.
But he's had an up and down career. In fact, his trainer was Todd Pletcher, who's Hall of Fame trainer. He described his horse a line from Anchorman, the Will Ferrell movie, where he said, 60% of the time he wins all the time, which is nonsense. But that's nonsense. But that's what he said about his horse. Now he's owned by Mike Rapoli. I don't know if you remember this guy because he got a lot of attention last year. He's one of these New York billionaires, tacky and kind of sleazy, but he made his money in health water, and then he sold his health water businesses to Coca-Cola. It made $1 trillion. He got a lot of attention last year because he had the favorite, who was Forte. And 10 hours before the Derby last year, Forte was scratched. But Rapoli got a lot of attention. He's got a lot of attention this year because he's got the favorite. You know, he's got a Hall of Fame. He's got the great jockey, Johnny Velasquez, who's a Hall of Famer.
All right.
And his trainer's Pletcher.
Yeah.
So he's got some really good contacts.
You said something a minute ago that is, to me, the essence of the horse racing. He scares the other horses. I really want to know. I mean, that's the beauty of horse racing. Do they talk? Do they know? What do they say? Who's got a head? You know, I want to know which horse is going to have a headache tomorrow Saturday morning. Which one is just not going to feel?
They put blinders on horses,
some of them now.
Know.
Yeah, but they what do, you know, we've never heard the horses. In fact, I did a feature piece.
You never heard them talk?
ESPN wouldn't have ever they let me do it now. Back when they were serious about sports, they would never have let you do it. I did a piece locally about leading up to the Derby and used a bunch of clips from Mr. Ed. I had taped some Mr. Ed episodes from the week before and just used some lines from them with the horses talking to each other. And it was a lot.
It was good.
Well, the heartstring story of this Derby is Saratoga West, who's a 50-1 choice. Yeah. He's trained by a black guy named in his 70s. He was sold for this trainer bought the horse for $11,000.
Wow.
I mean, you know,
yeah, that's
the second choice, Sierra Leona, went for $2.3 million. This horse went for $11,000.
Wow. Yeah.
And Larry Demarit, that's his name. He's only the second black trainer in the last 70 years to run the Kentucky Derby, which is really interesting because when the Kentucky Derby started in the 1800s, when I was still alive, the first 17 races, the seven of them were won by black trainers. And since then, you know.
And I think all 17 were won by black jockeys.
Well,
back then. No, yeah, I'm seriously. And yeah, then they disappeared, and now they've come back a little bit.
Well, this guy, Larry Demarit, I said, he's in his 70s. In 2018, he got bone cancer. He was given 6 months to live.
Wow.
So this guy's on a heater. Of course, he's the heartstring story. But he had a great line. You know, they asked him about this horse he got on the cheap. He said, well, I don't buy cheap horses. I just buy them when they're cheap. And he said, and he had the great line. He says, you know, horses don't know what they cost.
That's right.
I love this guy.
That's great. And which horse is his?
His name is Saratoga West.
Okay.
He's 50-1.
I'm
going to get down on that. There'd
be a couple.
Yeah, I do. The 13. Post right. Number 13.
Because number 5 so he's has the be, most wins.
Yeah,
number
yeah.
5. Yeah. I want to give you a long shot.
Yeah,
okay?
What do you get?
So I check with my guru, a friend in Pittsburgh, Kenny, who actually talked to my informant, Jack,
that
gave me the long shot. This is the long shot.
Yeah.
Okay? The 7 horse, Anne-Marie.
Anne-Marie,
Anne-Marie is the long shot. Coming from Kenny and Jack, that's the one to go with.
Okay. All right.
My long shot, Catching Freedom, which is not, it was 8-1 shot, not really that long, but he won the Louisiana Derby. He came behind to beat Anne-Marie.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, in the Louisiana Derby. He's ridden by the great French jockey, Flavien Prat, who won the Derby in 2018 after the leader was disqualified.
Okay.
So he's won it, but he hasn't really gotten full.
Really hadn't really won it, yeah.
And the last three mounts, Pratt's last three mounts in the Derby, he's finished third, about a length behind.
Okay.
So each of those losers, he was closer to the victory than he was when he won it in the disqualification.
I have not yet seen the daily racing form, so I don't. I like a gray horse. Give me a gray horse with under 10-1 odds, and I'll probably bet that. I don't know. Have we got a gray horse in
this? Well, I think Saratoga West is a gray, roan.
I'm all the way there then.
Let me give you another story.
The other place I want to go, though, is the Japanese horses.
Oh, yeah.
And Forever Young is a 10-1 shot. It's won his last 5 races. Watch out. Maybe this is the year. It's kind of an odd sports year.
Maybe we get a Japanese
winner.
And the problem is we don't know if he speaks Japanese, though, right? We don't know if the horse...
Whatever he speaks to the other horses, if they need an interpreter.
You know, the...
Now we're into the Ohtani thing. Never mind.
You know, the face of horse racing, ironically, and, of course, apologetically, is Bob Baffert, the trainer.
Sure.
He hasn't been allowed in this race for 3 years because of... You know, his winner 3 years ago failed a drug test.
Right.
So they haven't let him back. And they say that the best horse, the best 3-year-old, is not in this race because his name is Muth, and he's trained by Baffert. And Baffert's going to run him in the Preakness. So if Muth wins the Preakness, you know, we're going to, because he's not allowed to run this race. And they say he was the best horse in the spring.
Wow.
Bob Baffert's lawyer, however, who is also an owner, has got a horse in this race. And his name is Track. His lawyer's name is Clark Brewster. Is 20-1. Track Phantom. His trainer is Steve Asmussen. He's got a great. And his jockey is Joel Rosario, who's about to get in the Hall of Fame. Oh. So Baffert sort of looms over this race.
I'm sure he does.
Good story.
There's so many horses. You have a little history about what you're talking about, and he's like, I'm going to pull for. You know, the 50-1 horse. I'm going to pull for the 7 horse, yeah, which is the long shot. Well, it's not the long shot.
Oh, and as celebrity owner, I think I told you this, yeah, or celebrity owner, is Jason Wirth,
right,
the former Phillies outfielder playing the World Series about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he's become a horse owner. And his horse is on the first. I think he's he got number one, you know, which
on
is
the rail.
No shot.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Okay, one pick. Who you got?
I'm going to say again. I like
Bonne-Marie, number 7.
All right.
I'm going Catching Freedom.
All right. All right.
So 8-1. Louisiana Derby winner.
I'm going to go with your 50-1. I like that.
Saratoga West.
I like that.
Because horses don't know what they cost.
Because they don't know what they cost, and they don't know, generally know their names, probably. Thanks, guys. It's been great. Rich Basirico, Corey Kirkpatrick, I'm Bob Stevens. Thanks, Justin. Thanks, guys. We appreciate it. Everything good. We'll be back next week to probably throw a horse under the bus.
Yeah.